Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. It is a Titans Monday on the program. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
You know what's up. You know what's up. You all know what's up. Let's get right to it. Let's get to the unmitigated disaster that was Sunday. Malik week. We thought it couldn't get any better than just the idea of playing Malik Willis on Sunday. We didn't think it could get any better than, you know, hey, if Malik comes in and beats you and this happens and that happens. No, Malik Willis came in and turned into Michael Vick. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to rock bottom, because that's what yesterday was. When the Packers returned a pick six to make it 17-7, I turned to the people I was at the game with yesterday, and I said, it might as well be 17-7, because that's how it felt, and everybody in the stadium knew it. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I'm going to say this over and over again today, and you're just going to have to bear with me. It's rock bottom. This is one of the all-time worst losses in the history of the Tennessee Titans. And it is a reflection of where your football team is right now. Your football team, the Tennessee Titans, are the worst team in the NFL. The worst. Three teams are winless, but you have the only 0-3 football team. They lost at home to a guy who they literally gave away for nothing. A seventh round pick. Is nothing. It's a bag of footballs. And that's what they gave up 3 weeks ago. Not 3 years ago. Not that this guy went to Green Bay and they've worked real hard. This isn't Steve Young, who sat the bench in San Francisco for half a decade before he got back in. Malik was a Titan a month ago. And he came in and sliced you up. Your number one defense, which bragged this week, bragged about nobody runs the ball on the Tennessee Titans, gave up 188 yards, 5.1 yards a carry, and once again, you turned one of the single worst quarterbacks in the history of the Tennessee Titans. You know, right down there with Sling Johnson and Rusty Smith, you turned Malik Willis into Lamar Jackson. You turned a missed field goal into a Green Bay touchdown. I don't know how somebody explain that one to me. Your starting quarterback, who would not start for another team in the NFL, threw his second pick six in 3 weeks. And the coach seemed almost happy about it after the game because it wasn't as bad as the one he threw before. You all said in the offseason, let Rand cook, baby. Yeah. The meal is disgusting. But here's the thing about rock bottom. Sitting about Rand. Sitting about Brian Callahan. Sitting about Will Levis, and it's not even about Malik Willis. What is happening to the Tennessee Titans right now is about Amy Adams Strunk. Period. The last 2.5 years of her ownership tenure have been horrendous. Again, 2.5 years. It's been bad. And you can make whatever excuse you want. You can blame whoever you want. But in the NFL, you are what your record says you are. Remember when we used to make fun of Jacksonville? When they had Urban Meyer and he decided to stay in Ohio and there was the video of him and the girl and they came in here and there was a story that he kicked the player. And remember we used to laugh at Jacksonville? Remember when we used to laugh at Houston? After Bill O'Brien got fired and they had the year with David Culley and Lovie Smith and just the dregs. We laughed. Guess what? That's you. You're Jacksonville with Urban Meyer. You're Houston with David Culley. That's who you are. Now, today's program is not as much of a finger wagging and I told you so, though there will be a lot of that today. It's not as much of a finger wagging, I told you so, as much as I think what today really needs to be, which is a Titans intervention. This franchise is at rock bottom. This is Ken Whisenhunt 2.0, folks. And I hope that instead of being mad at the messenger today, me, I hope you all and they, because trust me, I know they're listening. I hope you all and they can understand the words. This has been brewing since December of 2022. It's as simple as that. The Titans fired their general manager in the middle of the season with a record of 7-5. Five losses in December. You have three losses in September. You see the difference? And you can say what you want about John Robinson, but no well-run organization fires their general manager in the middle of the season while the team is in first place. Remember when it happened? We kept going back trying to find an example of a general manager who was fired in the middle of the season when it wasn't like a 3-9 team. Again, 7-5. Al Davis did some crazy stuff in the days with the Raiders. Just go ask Bill Callahan. But he never did that. And that was when I realized that this team was headed back to the desert. Like Moses for 40 years. The Munchak years, the Wisenhunt years, the Reinfeldt years, the Webster years. You remember them. And I told somebody with the Titans right then and there, when John Robinson got fired, I said, look, John Robinson might not have been the greatest general manager in the history of the NFL. I get it. But I remember what it was like when this organization had a great GM. His name was Floyd Reese, and you know it. And I remember what it was like when they thought they could do better. So you might think you can do better than John Robinson, who won 61% of his games, but I don't want to go back to the desert. Are you thirsty? This team's terrible. This team is awful. Again, this team was 7-5. They had been to the playoffs 3 years in a row. They had been to an AFC championship game, and that wasn't good enough around here. Do you realize how far away you are from that now? 3 years in a row in the playoffs. 7-5, first place in December. Do you realize how far away you are from that now? There was the shotgun marriage between Vrabel and Carthon, which I knew was stupid when it happened. But all of you bought it. These guys, they're going to work together. They're going to. It was later reported behind the scenes. Vrabel had told Amy, can we make him assistant general manager? Because I don't know. But no. This was going to work out. I mean, this was going to be great. Then Vrabel got fired, and Rand technically got promoted, but realistically he got demoted, and in came Coach Sunshine. Everybody's doing great. Everybody's awesome. Everybody's free to be themselves. Everybody's happy. Everybody's... Guy can't make a decision on when to go for it on fourth down, but do you feel better about yourself? Guys can be themselves. And remember, hunting together isn't the same as hunting at the same time or whatever that line was. Titans fans were talking about 10 wins. And nobody wanted to hear the reality, which was you don't have a right tackle. You know that now. They know that now. You can fire the general manager all you want. You can fire the coach. They've done it. And if they fired the GM, I wouldn't shed a tear. You can fire the quarterback. You can fire the cancer-curing AI model former assistant general manager that's now the president of football operations. And that great cancer-curing model led to the signing of Jamal Adams, who can't even make a simple tackle, blah, blah, whatever. None of this is going to change until she changes. What happened to the Amy Adams Strunk from 2015 to 2022? What happened to that woman? The fans loved Amy. I loved Amy. I thought Amy was a well-established owner. Because, again, for a seven-year period, she ran the franchise the way a franchise should be run. She didn't fly off the handle to fire people left and right. She was a good owner. And then all of a sudden, and I don't know if it's the Cincinnati playoff game that broke her. I don't know if it was the A.J. Brown trade. I don't know what it was. But all of a sudden, she became her father. And look, I love Bud Adams, and I thought Bud Adams is one of the best things that ever happened in Nashville. But her father has a legacy in the NFL that will unfortunately always never get the recognition it deserves because at times he couldn't get out of his own way. She's talked about it herself when he fired Bum Phillips, and that was a decision that he probably wishes he could have had back. So for the last 2 years, the Titans have been a lot about feelings. They've been a lot about let's work together and be happy and let's pretend like we've got a good team. Angry that John Robinson blew the A.J. Brown trade, fire him. Angry that Mike Vrabel won't play nice in the sandbox, fire him. The coach and the GM excuse every single red flag for an entire offseason. Every single negative play in practice, every interception, oh no, it'll be fine. Oh no, we had a meeting. Oh no, we watched the tape. Oh no, our coaches are the best. Everyone in the building was happy. Harold Landry said, guys can be themselves. Everybody felt good. The result of the last 2.5 years, from a consistent AFC contender, you were up there with Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Baltimore. You were right there. 2019, you went on the road and you beat Tom Brady in a playoff game. You were right there. You beat Josh Allen at home on Monday Night Football. You smoked Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And the last time you played Green Bay, before all of this bullcrap started, you went on the road to Lambeau Field on Thursday Night Football and beat Aaron Rodgers. You had a team. And now you're worse than the Carolina Panthers. You just got outshot at home by Malik Willis. This won't change until Amy changes. Period. It's time to stop pretending everything's okay. It's time to stop pretending that everything's going to be okay. And it's time to stop overreacting every 18 weeks. It's time for the Tennessee Titans to look in the mirror and realize that the change that is needed in this organization, it's not from around. It's not from a coach here or a player there. It's not even the GM. It's not the head coach. It's not the last head coach. It's not the last GM. It's not the quarterback. And it's not Ryan Tannehill. It's the owner. I love my football team. I have said that 1,000 times. I baked in the 100-degree heat yesterday to watch Will Levis go throw a pick six and to watch that offensive line with no right tackle give up 8 sacks. But I also know that this can change, which is why I will be as vocal as I have to be. If it matters or not, I have no idea. But I know it can change. I know Amy can be a good owner. But I also know that it won't change unless Amy changes herself, unless she goes back to doing things the way she used to do them when Steve Underwood was here. And I don't know if Steve Underwood was the peacekeeper. I couldn't tell you. But what's going on right now, it's not working. And I think I have a little bit of credibility right now because I was right before, no matter how much you didn't want to believe it. And I hope you guys know I'm right now. This starts at the top, the very top. This isn't about Brian Callahan today, and we'll get into him. This isn't about Rand Carthon today, and we'll get into him. This isn't about Chad Brinker or Will Levis or Malik Willis or Derrick Henry or John Robinson. And we'll have plenty of time for all that today, too. This is about her. This is about the way the franchise has been run since that Tuesday in December of 2022, when you had, according to the New York Times playoff predictor, a 90%+ chance of making the playoffs. Since then, it's been one disaster after another, one excuse after another, one head to roll after another. And today, I think we know, even if you don't want to admit it, this is rock bottom. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. We are rocking and rolling. We will get to your phones today, although I got a lot of talking I got to do first. And coming up next, there's one problem that I think, I'm not in the building, but I hear enough of what emanates from the building that I think the Titans, I don't know. I mean, I think Amy's got to be the one that addresses this, but it's a problem. And I'm just calling it like I see it. And we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025 on a Titans Monday. It's Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
And Ran is a tremendous person, you know, as far as an evaluator and the relationships he has around the league. And we really wanted to allow him to flourish in that role.
What's the expectation we should be having for the Titans? Are we winning it all this year?
You know, if we can put it all together, I think we have a chance. And obviously, I believe in Will Levis. It's a large reason why I took the job, is that I think he's capable of being a really good player.
You know, earlier this week, I had Jeff Simmons in the office and just kind of getting his assessment of what he thought. And he felt really good, you know, about the line as a whole.
The AI was used to help the doctors identify cancer in patients. And I was just fascinated by this. And so I took what was a football problem and we put it in the context of AI. And one of the problems that we have in football is we spend a lot of money on players that don't pan out.
Of every draft room I've been in, this was probably the most accurate board that I've ever been a part of.
I feel like when guys show up here now, guys feel confident that they can be themselves and that they can operate how they know they best operate to perform as good as they can on Sunday.
As far as Treylon's role, he's going to play everything. We've told him that from the beginning. He's had a really good offseason. I'm excited about what he can bring for us. I meant when I said that the other day that I think he's going to have a role to play.
Will Levis be the Titans era's first 4,000-yard passer? And right now, the fans are believers. They 78% of them say yes, he will. 22% say no. I think it's a slam dunk.
I mean, that was just a month ago. The offseason of toxic positivity. Who remembers that? Jeff Simmons came in my office. He said he thinks the offensive line's doing real well. And I'm not mad at Titan fans that believe that stuff. I'm not mad at people that heard that from your general manager, your president, your coach, your players, and say, yeah, you're 0-3. You gave up 8 sacks yesterday. Your quarterback can't stop turning the ball over. I mean, hey, so all those good feelings, all the sunshine, the toxic positivity, all of it doesn't mean jack, period. And there's another problem. Again, I think the big problem with the Titans is the owner. And I'm probably, I don't know how many people are just going to sit here and say it. Again, we'll talk about all these things. We'll talk about the coach, talk about the quarterback, talk about it. The problem is the owner. Because, again, the owner used to run a very well-run football organization. And then, I don't know what happened, she decided to go Leroy Jenkins on the whole thing. And next thing you know, all of a sudden it's, well, Vrabel doesn't like this guy, and Robinson doesn't like that guy. And then Vrabel got Robinson fired, and then Amy said Vrabel didn't, and then Carthon came in, and Vrabel didn't like it. But here's another problem I think the Titans have. And again, I think this. I don't know this for a fact, because I'm not there every day, and I don't see all the interactions, but I think I see enough of them. I don't know if Amy has a single person working for her that actually tells her the truth or is educated enough over there to be able to tell her the truth, if that makes any sense. And I mean that directly and indirectly. Every single podcast interview you hear emanate from Titans headquarters ignores all the bad and highlights all the good. Every single one of them. I mean, I went crazy that Rand Carthon didn't go to the Senior Bowl. And all of a sudden, Dave McGinnis and Mike Keith, two guys I have a lot of respect for and I like a lot, and this isn't about them, But they sit down with Rand Carthon, and it's a good thing you're not at the Senior Bowl, Rand. And I'm like, my God, did I piss that many people off that we had to have a 45-minute podcast interview about how it's good that he's not at the Senior Bowl? Every press conference, it's about, oh, no, we feel great about this. We feel good about right tackle. We feel we got great coaches. We got this. We got that. Every single interview, every press conference, everything. I mean, hey, we've got Chad Brinker's analytics that make us so smart that we're going to be able to outthink these other teams. And I know, again, I haven't seen the analytics, but apparently that machine shot out Sadiq Charles at right guard. The coach is going to tell her what she wants to hear. Because after every single red flag at OTAs and every single interception at training camp and every single bad day, there was a silver lining. You don't think he's telling her that too? You think he's getting up there saying, yeah, I think it's okay that Will Levis threw a pick six to Devin Witherspoon in the first OTA practice against the Seahawks, or excuse me, training camp practice against the Seahawks. It'll be okay. Remember, he said that to us. By the way, the ball that Devin Witherspoon intercepted is the exact same ball that Jair Alexander ran into the end zone yesterday. Remember, Denard's defense is really good, folks. I know our offense sucked today at practice, but Denard's defense, Seattle's defense, really good. They're probably telling the owner the same thing. And, again, I think we've documented enough over time. I don't think we need the examples about how Rand will tell anybody that he's talking to in that moment exactly what it is that they want to hear. Ball didn't bounce our way. It wouldn't shock me, for instance, if she's actually surprised how terrible this football team is. See, I think there's a lot of you that were hoping for a different result than what I was preaching, but I think you knew in the back of your mind, like, hey, there's a chance Jared might be telling the truth here. Like, there's a chance that we hope Jared just doesn't know anything about football, and when he tells us that Peter Skoronski stinks at training camp and everybody else for some reason says he's doing well, which I still don't know how we – I don't know how everybody else could have said that he was doing well. And I'm like, guys, my eyeballs don't say that. Like, and I'm no expert. I'm not Trevor. But my eyes don't say that. And then all of a sudden, I'm right. And the coach and everybody else is wrong. I don't understand that. But, again, I think there's some of you that, like, kind of hope that I didn't know what I was talking about. And so now you're like, oh, God, Jared was actually right about this, this, or that, whatever it might be. But I think there's probably a part of her that's shocked. Because she was probably told that Nicholas Petit-Frere, a.k.a.
P.T.
P.T. could play. When, again, I think it's been documented, again, that P.T. cannot play. That was wishful thinking at best. And the Titans have turned wishful thinking into an expected outcome. And when you do that, you're going to be disappointed. So I don't think anybody over there tells her the truth. Maybe Steve Underwood, when he was there and you won football games, maybe Steve Underwood told her the truth. I don't know. But I don't think the current CEO tells her the truth. I don't think the president of football operations tells her the truth. I don't think the GM tells her the truth. I don't think the coach tells her the truth. I don't think, you know, the family member that's inside the front office now, what's his title? Director of strategy? I don't know if he knows the truth or not, but I don't know if he tells her the truth. I don't know if Mike Keith tells her the truth. I don't know if anybody in that building has the cojones to tell her the truth, because they're probably so afraid that if they tell her the truth, she's going to turn around and fire somebody's ass over it. Well, I don't work for her. I love her because of the way she treated Floyd on the way out. But I don't work for her. And telling the truth sometimes hurts. And it hurts me today to have to get up here and rag on this over and over again. But your team blows. Somebody's got to say it. It's poorly constructed. It's poorly coached. And it's entitled. This is an entitled football team. Everybody thinks Will Levis thinks he's entitled to be treated like a legitimate starting quarterback when he hadn't done anything in this league. Jeffrey Simmons thinks he's entitled to be treated like an elite player when he's never had 10 sacks in a season. It's an entitled football team. I mean, your team is a bunch of Taylor Lewans and not a bunch of Derrick Henrys. Both were talented, but one felt entitled to tell the GM who had just taken the job that he didn't want to play right tackle, and the other said all the right things when being criminally sat on the bench by a bad coaching staff. So, again, I'm just here today. It's an intervention. It's not a spanking. It's not a finger wag. It's not a... But somebody has got to tell her the truth. Because I don't think anybody in that building is doing it. I don't think anybody went to her and said, Amy, it might be a problem on the offensive line this year. I don't think it was that. I think it was Bill Callahan will fix it. Everything you heard, that pumping sunshine, I think they pumped her sunshine. And so that's the first step is, you know, we're going to get Amy in check here. She's got to get somebody over there that's going to tell her the truth. That's what they need. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. I see your calls on hold. We will get to them this hour, I promise. But coming up next, I got two words for you. Right tackle. We'll do it next. Stillman and Company here on the program. Let's talk about FanDuel Sportsbook. I love FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. The NFL weekend is almost in the books, but you've got a chance to start the season with a big return on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, with two games tonight. That's right, two games on Monday Night Football. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet on tonight's game. One of the two. Again, you know, I hope that some of these teams finish 0-3 this week, so it's not just you. But, again, I don't care even if those teams lose. I still think you're the worst team in the league. But just visit FanDuel.com/JGM to make every moment more this season with FanDuel. That's FanDuel.com/JGM. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and over and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issue is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Second and 10 at the 31. Levis, pressure, and he's blasted. Ball is out. Still loose on the turf. Packers have it. Lucas Van Ness recovers after the Edagbari sack of Will Levis, and the Titans are turned away late in the third.
Working right here. It's just an upfield and then underneath move on Nicholas Petit-Frere, and a guy who's really struggled with pressures this season, just completely out of position, bad footwork. And then, hey, you got beat inside quick. You got to be the one who's coming back to help. And his feet were so poor that he went right down to the ground, but you can't stand there. You're the one person that knows, oh, my goodness, you know, my guy just beat me inside. He's going to get a free shot on Will.
He had allowed 17 pressures in the first two games, four more than any player in the league, as Emmanuel Wilson goes back to work and picks up seven.
Yeah, don't know. I don't know what the disconnect is. I felt like he had a pretty good camp and was in a good spot, and, you know, thus far has not been good enough.
That was Brian Callahan yesterday after Nicholas Petit-Frere, a.k.a.
P.T.
P.T. continued to show that he stinks. And I mean, look, I'm sorry. We have to talk about it today. I know you don't want to hear the story. It'll come out here probably momentarily. You don't want to hear the right tackle story, but I tried. The coach got hired, and I sat down with him the next morning at 7 a.m. and taped an interview with him, and I told him the right tackle story, did I not?
For the most part, you said kind of, yeah.
I told him the story.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it every day. We went over all the available free agent tackles, and I kept saying, look, Jermaine Illuminor might not be very good, but he's better than what you've got. And he kept saying, no, I think PT, and I think Duncan, I think they can do it. And I kept thinking to myself, guys, I have eyeballs. I've seen these guys play. I don't think they can do it. I mean, I don't think they can do it, guys. And I heard it from everyone that I owed the Titans the benefit of the doubt. I owed them the benefit. I trust Bill Callahan more than you. And I said, right, but do you think Bill Callahan is Jesus? Like, again, there's, hey, guy's really good coach, and he can take players and make them better. And there's, he can take the worst player in the league and turn him into an all-pro. And I don't think Bill Callahan could do that. So everybody told me I owed the Titans a benefit of the doubt. And I did not for a second give it to him this offseason because I gave it to him last offseason, and I wasn't going to make the same mistake twice. So I complained during free agency, and I complained during the draft, and I complained after the draft, and I complained when their plan was PT and Duncan, and they weren't out there at OTAs. I said, oh, great, this is your option at right tackle, and these guys can't get on the field. And as Caroline called it, and I think she called it correctly at the time, it'll be fine season. Remember? It'll be fine. We don't want to hear that story again. I complained during camp, and I was told, no, PT can do it. Corey Curtis on the sideline at the preseason game said they felt good about the right side of the offensive line. And I had to get on Corey's ass, even though all Corey was doing was relaying the message that the coaches were telling him to the TV audience, because I knew that was ridiculous. But again, I just never assume that what they hope will happen is going to be what happens. Do you understand the difference? Let's use Mason Rudolph as an example. Mason Rudolph, in theory, won some games last year for the Steelers, so if you put him in at quarterback, I mean, who's to say that he couldn't be Kurt Warner? Backup quarterback, comes in, becomes league MVP, wins the Super Bowl. But I'm not going to assume that that's going to be what happens. Again, they took the best case scenario and assumed it to be true with no insurance. And now 3 weeks in, they know they made a mistake. And I shouldn't be smarter than them. They make way more money than I do. They spend way more time at this than I do. They have way more experience than I do. But there's no debating it. Who got this right? This isn't a broken clock, folks. I mean, this is something that every single day I harped on. I didn't get lucky on this one. I used my eyeballs. And instead of letting a narrative or optimism overtake what I had seen and what I knew, I just kept saying the same thing over and over and over again. And I think what's most disappointing to me about this is that I shouldn't be smarter than them when it comes to right tackle. I shouldn't be. They have more experience than me. They spend more time doing this than me. This is their careers. I shouldn't be smarter than them, but this isn't about understanding technique or, you know, being a football guy. This is common sense. And it isn't about, well, I told you so at right tackle. But after all of the flack that I've caught from Titans fans about the right tackle story, I do take some joy out of being insanely correct about this one thing that you all thought wasn't a big deal that I knew was a big deal. You see, I was talking to my dad about this yesterday. I was 25 years old when I started here at 102.5. So I graduated college at 22, and I got into radio at 23, and at 25, I was here at 102.5. And then when I was 26, we started Jared and the GM. And for 4 or 5 years, every day, 4 hours, Ian and I, unlike you guys might listen for 15 minutes at a time, an hour at a time, 45 minutes at a time. Ian and I were here for 4 hours a day for 5 years. To me, that is almost the same as if we had gone to medical school or law school after college. We went to football school, and we had the best professor that has ever run a football team in this city every single day. And the number one thing that I referenced from that great professor is, again, just the blatant, if you don't have a right tackle, you stink. Like, that's what I'm talking about. And again, I'm not smarter than them. They've got more experience than me. But I guess I just have more common sense than they do. Because PT's awful. And now they're going to Duncan. And the thing about PT and Duncan is, they did this last year. They went from Dillard to Duncan. And Duncan was worse. And yesterday, Duncan was worse than PT. Duncan's terrible. I've told you that 100 times. My opinion's not changing because they're about to get him in there. But no, 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 they knew. No, 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 it doesn't matter. Right tackle, that doesn't matter. We can fudge it at that position. You didn't hear me complain about inside backer. You didn't hear me complain about tight end. You didn't hear me complain about safety. Because you can fudge it at that position. You can't fudge it at right tackle. Because at some point, your right tackle's going to have to stop a pass rusher. And if you don't have a right tackle, there's nothing you can do. So, I mean, if you want the right tackle story retired, then don't get mad at me and tell me to stop telling the right tackle story. Go tell the Titans to get a right tackle. And don't yell at me because I did the best I could. I told the coach, go get a right tackle. I asked the coach repeatedly about right tackle. When they said, you know, we think that Petit Ferrer, we think PT and Duncan can do it. I said, no, 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 no. You said, it's only March, Jared. It's only April, Jared. It's only May, Jared. And I said, right. Because there's nothing you can do about it in October. And we lived it last year. And our professor, the GM, used to coin a term when he'd talk about trying to make a change and do this. And this is what I felt Duncan and Dillard were last year. Dillard was better than Duncan, by the way. But he'd say, well, that's just swap and spit. Well, if you take PT out, you put Duncan in, guess what that is? That's not making your team better. You're swapping spit. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Okay, phones. I've got the two biggest things out. Amy's got a problem, and the right tackle situation, I mean, they need to be smarter than that. They should be smarter than that, and they're not, and that's disappointing. So we're to your phones here on Stillman & Company. Let's talk Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I can promise you right now, when it comes to taking care of my home, I am not smarter than Hiller. That's why I call them out, and I do not even think twice about it. I mean, if something's wrong, it's like, get Hiller over here right now. And you've heard me talk about how Hiller is a family. It is. And this month, Hiller is treating you like family, too, with their Friends and Family Savings event. Happy Hiller Club members can save up to 25% off your first HVAC, plumbing, and electrical repair. And everyone else gets a 10% discount. Present your coupon and save easily by visiting happyhiller.com to download a coupon today. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters, the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today.
Second down and goal from the 5. Willis keeps on the zone read, bouncing towards the goal line. Touchdown! Malik Willis into the end zone in Tennessee to pace the Packers to the early lead.
Just a really good opening drive to start the game. Malik Heath out here. We talked about the wide receivers as blockers. He gets the key block that allows Malik Willis to get to the outside. Nice little inside dip right there, and then bouncing it back outside. Great balance. Just great balance on the drive. Short throws. One-on-one opportunities that you cash into down the field. And when that run game struggles a little bit, here comes the quarterback as that 11th guy you got to worry about.
Malik, a.k.a. Michael Vick, a.k.a. Lamar Jackson. I mean, even a little Randall Cunningham in there from Malik yesterday. And again, I mean, the main theme with why the Titans suck so bad is the owner. Because ever since the owner went as YOLO as a Will Levis pass on the organization at 7-5 after 3 trips to the playoffs in a row and fired the general manager, just hauled off and fired the general manager because AJ took a towel out of his belt and spanked the goalpost. Ever since that moment in time, the problem's been the owner, and I'm not moving off that, and somebody's got to say it, that person's going to be me. That does not mean that everybody else has not failed at their jobs, whether it is the cancer-curing AI model from Chad Brinker, whether it is Brian Callahan's coaching, and we'll get to him in a second. But that game plan yesterday on defense was atrocious. I mean, when Malik converted to third and two with his legs, and I see them making a substitution on defense, and Jamal Adams is running off the field. And I'm like, what is the point of signing this worthless old pawpaw who cannot cover at safety anymore and cannot play more than about three games? What is the point if you've got a quarterback who is fast-ish, but is not Lamar, playing quarterback who really can't throw that well? Like, I know Malik had a couple yesterday, but we've seen enough of Malik to know that Malik's not very good when it comes to throwing the ball. So you've got a quarterback who's got to be spied on third and two, and you're taking Grandpa out? The one thing that he might do well for this football team? And they just, early in the game, didn't spy Malik? You didn't know Malik could run? Denard! So everybody's in trouble today, but my God, that was an all-time embarrassment. I mean, I really felt at halftime the same way I felt 59-0 game. Because even though 59-0 was bad, that was on the road to Tom Brady and Randy Moss, both first-ballot Hall of Famers. This was Malik! Okay, I promised phone calls, so we'll do them. 615-737-1025, phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Joe has been waiting very patiently and is going to kick us off today on a Titans Monday. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Jared, thanks for taking my call. Brother, hey, all I got to say, man, is you're preaching today. This franchise is absolutely horrible. And you're right, 100%. It is the owner. Listen, to add to what you were saying, if you give this team to Vrabel and Robinson, they're 3-0. They are. Because Vrabel, I'm serious, because Vrabel is a player, was a player on a championship team. He knew how to win games. Even look at that Miami game. When Levis handed the ball over twice to him, they still came back and won. Okay?
I will say this, Joe. To
Amy has made some terrible decisions. After one bad season, she fires Vrabel. After one bad decision, she fires John Robinson.
So I think that's a little too much the other way. Joe, thank you for your call.
Good to talk to you, Joe,
because we hadn't talked to you in a while. I think you're too far the other way there. Like, it wasn't one bad decision with Robinson. Robinson made bad decisions. And, I mean, I haven't talked to Robinson about it, you know, about the A.J. Brown trade, for instance. But I bet you he'd probably tell you, yeah, that was one I'd like to have back. But, again, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel never were 0-3. John Robinson never had a losing record. So as much as you – and, again, he was 7-5 when you fired him. So I don't – again, you can sit there and tell me they'd be 3-0. I'm not sure I believe that. But I'm pretty sure they wouldn't be 0-3. Because, again, they had a track record. And in their track record, they were never 0-3. Never. Not even when John Robinson inherited the worst team in the league were they 0-3. Let's go to Steve, who's up next here on the program. Steve, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, what's up, Jared? Man, great show. It's like, you know, let Rain cook. Hey, what are you going to cook? Ramen noodles? We don't need that right now. Look, how is it? Look, this is my thing. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but how is it possible that we could let players go to come back to kick our behind in the future? All the time. I mean, since forever. I don't know what it is. Look, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not going to trip, but it's early season. But Mason Rudolph with your nose so bright. Can we get a win tonight?
Steve, thank you for your call. I mean, look, the way I see it is if Levis does, I mean, hey, congratulations, Will. Your pick six wasn't horrendous. It was just a pick six. I mean, if he keeps doing that, like, he has to come out. And the coach can, I mean, the coach can sugarcoat it all he wants, but, I mean, the coach is going to lose the team if he does that. I mean, that's his decision to keep going to the wall for Levis. But I mean, again, like I said, in the stadium, when it was 17-7, I turned to someone and said, it feels like it's 1700-7, and that's because you knew who your quarterback was. And you know your quarterback's not going to get any better, because he hasn't gotten any better since, exactly. Let's go to Kyle, who's up next here on the program. Kyle, thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, guys. A lot to get into, but I'm just going to stick to the offensive line. It's terrible. It's just as bad as it has been the last two seasons. And I don't see how anybody could be, any quarterback could win games behind the line that was out there last yesterday. If we keep this up, I'm with you, Jared. I think we broke Marcus Mariota. Are we on the verge of breaking Levis if he keeps getting sacked 8 times a game? I know that pick six, you know, that was bad, but it wasn't horrific, actually. But if we get a top 10 pick, do you go tackle, right tackle, or do you go quarterback if Will actually starts picking it up a little bit? But the line,
Kyle,
you never know.
I'm just going to answer it like this when it comes to bringing up Mariota and talking about ruining quarterbacks and things like that. I'm just going to say this. How can we not assume that you're ruining quarterbacks when Malik, thank you for your call, Kyle, when Malik came in and did what he did? Yes, Malik. So if Malik's going to do that, then, I mean, there's no doubt that part of the reason why Levis sucks is because of you. I mean, again, when you get married and get divorced, like, that happens. That is natural. 50% of the country ends up getting divorced. When you've been married 5 times, eventually you're the problem. And I think there's something to that. 615-737-1025, which is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Okay. I've already hit the owner pretty hard on, as far as, you know, her culpability in this, which I think is where we start. But I was very disappointed with the coach yesterday. Very disappointed. And there were a couple of things in there that are really starting to worry me about this coach. I like him, but again, we got to call it how we see it. We'll do it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.